Check two, check two. All right, all right. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York, this is Little Brother, the show where we talk about high technology, low intelligence, crime, greed, corruption, and all of the wonderful things that happen when you mix them together. Like any responsible little brother, we tell on Big Brother. My name is Chuck Ritter, and I'll be your host as we explore this world of the high tech. This is episode 101 of Little Brother for the 17th of September, 2022. Stay tuned. Little Brother is right around the corner. As always, I'd like to remind everyone that the opinions and views expressed in this program are strictly those of the participants, and not necessarily those of anyone else who may, for whatever reason, attempt to claim them. Responsible parties with an opposing viewpoint may request an opportunity for a rebuttal. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can write me at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. So, let's get started. Did you know that Meta, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, had a team in their organization whose job it was to address potential harms to society caused by their technology? No, I didn't either. Did you notice that that sentence was worded entirely in the past tense? That was on purpose. That is because the so-called Responsible Innovation Team was dissolved recently. They were first formed some years ago with the goal of advising the company on potential harms that the company's technologies might have on society. Of course, the great thing about advice is that you don't have to follow it, which may be why the team is being dissolved. That brings us to South Korea. The government of South Korea has levied combined fines of 100 billion won, or about $72 million, against Meta and Google for tracking consumers' online behaviors without the consent of the consumers. Officials concluded that the company's business practices could cause serious privacy infringements and that the companies neither notified users of their actions nor obtained their consent before proceeding. Meta and Google are, of course, refuting the findings, as one does. These findings are the largest fines ever levied by the South Korean government for privacy law violations. Back in episode 96, there is a commentary about how Amazon's purchase of iRobot essentially amounts to Amazon buying the floor plan to your house. Apparently, and thankfully, I am not the only one who thinks that this is an appalling idea. A coalition has formed between privacy-oriented search engine DuckDuckGo and privacy-oriented email and VPN provider Proton to encourage the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, to block the sale. Also in the coalition are nonprofit digital rights advocates groups Electronic Frontier Foundation, or EFF, and Fight for the Future, consumer advocacy group Public Citizen, and labor unions, including the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, or FBI, is drawing attention to the dangers posed by outdated medical devices. At the heart of the problem, many medical devices are network-connected compute devices of the more general variety often referred to in the IT and cybersecurity fields by the term Internet of Things, or IoT. IoT devices of this nature tend to give an impression of being a conventional appliance with a conventional service life on the order of a decade or more. However, vendors often do not provide the degree of software patching and support necessary to warrant this impression. As a result, devices with dangerous vulnerabilities continue to persist on networks, including critical networks. And honestly, I can think of no network more critical than one that is being used to save lives. XL Energy in Colorado offers its customers a one-time payment of $100, followed by annual payments of $25, in exchange for letting the utility take control of your household thermostat during times of peak energy load. The concept is called load shedding, and this is not free money. The payment comes with an obligation to deal with it. In the event that the utility finds itself in an emergency situation where they need to shed load, customers who have accepted the payment will be locked out of their thermostats, which will run to the temperature dictated by the utility. Commercial agreements of this nature, some going so far as to have factories halt production on demand, have existed for decades. However, the commercial versions have the ability to negotiate the fee and decide if it makes business sense or not for them, as well as the option to decline a turndown in exchange for not receiving the fee in a particular instance. And those are the headlines. You're listening to Little Brother. Well, here we are again. It's time for another round of Who Got Pwned This Week. We've got two this week. First up, Uber. The ride-hailing service tweeted on Thursday that they were responding to a cybersecurity incident and that they would post updates as they happen. The breach was halted by Uber shutting down several internal communications and engineering systems. However, their actual service appears to have been unimpacted. I gotta say, when I heard this one, though, it made me think of last week's Pwn of the Week with Yandex Taxi in Moscow. Thankfully, that didn't happen, and honestly, I'm not sure if it was even possible as details are a little scarce. For those who missed it, Yandex Taxi last week got pwned, and all of the taxis in Moscow got sent to one address. The second pwn this week is LastPass, which, to be blunt, is a little bit scary. Now, I've mentioned before, LastPass is a cloud-based password manager. If it were ever truly deeply pwned, there would be concerns about people's passwords being liberated. This would be a profoundly bad thing if it were to occur. Doesn't seem like it did, though, and LastPass claims that they were able to get the problem reined in after only 4 days, which is faster than most organizations do. Still, if you use FastPass, you might want to go through all of your passwords and change them. We need to talk about Mudge. Those of you from outside the hacker community, and probably some of the newer members of it, are now asking yourself, what's a Mudge? Well, since everything here is Creative Commons, let's go see what Wikipedia has to say. Mudge was responsible for early research into buffer overflows. In 1995, he published one of the first papers on the topic. He published some of the first security advisories and research demonstrating early vulnerabilities in Unix, such as code injection, side-channel attacks, and information leaks, and he was a leader in the full disclosure movement. He was the initial author of security tools LoftCrack, AntiSniff, and LoftWatch. He was one of the first people in the hacker community to reach out and build relationships with government and with industry. He's spoken at hacker conferences such as DEF CON and at academic conferences such as USENIX. He was one of the seven Loft members who testified before a Senate committee in 1998 about the serious vulnerabilities of the Internet at that time, apparently something he is still doing. The Loft became the computer security consultancy at Stake in 1999, and Mudge became the vice president of research and development and later the chief scientist. In 2000, after the first crippling internet distributed denial of service attacks, he was invited to meet with President Bill Clinton at a security summit alongside cabinet members and industry executives. After all of that, Mudge went on to work for the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA, then Google, and then Twitter. That brings us to why we are talking about him today. Now, obviously, Mudge is the guy's handle. The news coverage we've heard in the past week has described him as a Twitter whistleblower and called him by his name, Peter Zatko, which is fine because it's not like his identity is a secret. So now, when you listen or read or watch the news in whatever form that you use, that some Zatko guy is telling the world that Twitter is insecure, you can know that this is coming from somebody with some credibility. When he stands before a congressional hearing, as he's just done yet again, and tells the Congress that a bad actor can take over any one of their Twitter accounts, you may reasonably assume that this is the truth. And that is who Mudge is. Last night, I got a message from a longtime friend. By chance, she asked me, do you have an opinion on Apple facial recognition for iPhone in particular? Well, as it happens, I really don't know much about iPhones. My platform has always been Android, but I did have some thoughts about why using facial recognition to unlock your phone might be a bad idea in general, regardless of whether you use Android or Apple. The main reason is that you can use your Fifth Amendment rights to protect your Fourth Amendment rights. When you are dealing with law enforcement, you have the right to remain silent, and you should exercise that right. Now, I'm not a lawyer, but I feel very confident in my belief that any lawyer would tell you just exactly what I just told you. So why would you be dealing with law enforcement? There are a few reasons. Do you protest? Do you ever go anywhere near where a protest might break out? Are you sure? What if a protest breaks out where you work? What if a protest breaks out near your home? Both of these, by the way, have happened to me. Or maybe you get pulled over while driving. Maybe the officer who pulled you over is having a bad day. Maybe he thinks that he sees something suspicious. Maybe you remind him of his ex. Maybe you look like the guy his daughter is dating that he doesn't like. Or maybe the girl that his daughter is dating that he doesn't like. Or the girl his son. You get the idea. Who knows? Cops are human beings. And they have biases. And they make mistakes. So, have we established that you might have to deal with one of these folks in an adversarial situation? Good. Most of the time, most of you probably won't have to. But let's move on for that occasion when you do. When you find yourself in that adversarial situation, whether or not you are under arrest, you exercise that right to remain silent. If they ask if that's your phone, say nothing. If they ask you for the password, say nothing. They can still get at the contents of your phone through various technological measures, but make them work for it. On the other hand, if you have facial recognition activated, all they've got to do is point the front camera at you and the phone will unlock. Some Android phones have this feature as well. Mine certainly does. But regardless of which platform you use, just don't use this feature. As usual, we'll end this week's show with the fail of the week. The fail this week belongs to Aer Lingus. Late last week, just past deadline, the Irish airline Aer Lingus suffered what has been characterized as, quote, a significant IT outage, end quote, that grounded all of their flights to other parts of Europe from Dublin. Cancellations continued into the next day, and passengers on the affected flights were advised not to even come to the airport. The problem, it seems, stems from network connectivity to their cloud computing provider. It isn't the provider that went down, though, but the network between them, which managed to cut them off from both their primary and backup systems. Move everything to the cloud, they said. It'll be better, they said. Not that I will ever be able to find out, but I am honestly very curious how much they saved by moving operations to the cloud and how much they lost by moving operations to the cloud. Little Brother is produced, recorded, edited, and hosted by yours truly, Chuck Ritter. Special thanks to Fongaboo and the crowd at Helix for web hosting support. Shout out to the Albany 2600 group. Special thanks to Fongaboo, Azrael, Psycho, Knight Rider 007, and Miss Demeanor for story leads. Our headline music is Adrenochrome by Super Action 80. Our Who Got Pwnt music is Analog Summer 3 by Asarhad. Our Fail of the Week music is Space Reggae by Zap. Our opening theme music and our bumper is Around Chaos by Heatseeker, and our closing theme is Space Debris by Captain Image. If you have questions or comments about this podcast or want to join the conversation, please drop me an email at critter@littlebrotherpodcast.com. Join us next week when Little Brother tells on Big Brother once again. Stay safe and be well. From the studios of Wavefront Audiovisual Engineering in Schenectady, New York. Let's start that whole paragraph over. Consumer Advocacy Group. The news coverage we've heard in the past week has described him as a Twitter whistleblower. Called him by his name, Peter Zyko. Zatko. Shit. Peter Zyko. Why am I saying Zyko? It's Zatko. The news coverage we've heard in this past week has described him... Described? Yeah, has. Do you have... Let's start that again. Do you have an opinion on Apple facial recognition for iPhone in particular? I blew into the mic when I said that. Let's try it again.